WCHD 3 Detroit, KMPS HD 3 Seattle, WBMX HD 3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Live from CBS Sky Radio, it's Fired Up with CJ at fireitupwithcj.com. Today, we continue our focus this March on transitions and new beginnings. We start off with Kent Smith, author of Love Promised. How are you today, CJ?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm really happy that spring has arrived. Flowers are blossoming everywhere, so I feel really happy. Joy, joy, joy.
I think everyone does.
I know.
I think we're all ready to get out there.
I know, especially, I'm sure with you guys, especially with the snow, that you're probably excited. And we have our guest, Kent, who's from Houston, so you probably get no snow over there, huh?
We're probably getting what?
You probably get no snow over in Houston, right?
No, we have got a beautiful sunny day today. It's beautiful.
All right. Well, today we have Kent Smith, who is from Houston, here with us. And, I do yoga about 3 times a week. And at the very end of the yoga practice, there's a 5-minute rest period that's called Shavasana. And it's called corpse pose. And the intention of doing this pose at the very end of yoga, after you're all relaxed from doing all these stretches and kind of like focusing your mind and the one-pointedness, is to become a corpse, to practice dying every single time you do yoga. And it's oddly, I've begun to really enjoy this process of just letting go of everything and poof, evaporating into air and practicing letting go. And what I've noticed when I talk to friends and family, people don't like the thought of dying or death. And I think that there's so many mysteries in death and where do we go, how do we go, what happens after we die. And our guest, Kent Smith, actually wrote a book, Love Promised, of which he answers a lot of those questions. So welcome, Kent.
Thank you, CJ. It's great to be on your show.
So tell us a little bit about the idea of your book.
Well, Love Promised, A Future Life Revealed, is a love story that transcends time and space. And it is a memoir that's mostly based on the last 6 years of my life, as I've really been determined to learn more about this thing that we call death. Although it was personal experiences that ignited my search many years ago when I had out-of-body experiences as a child, though when my boyfriend crossed over in a fatal car accident in 2005, and then he let me know right away that he was not dead, it took me down this path even faster of wanting to know more about who we are as human beings. And then subsequent communication with him and other beings of light left me with some incredible information about some of life's greatest mysteries and amazing details, names, dates, places, and events of a future life that my boyfriend and I would have together. And so now a time capsule has been buried, and I'm told that it will someday prove the theory of reincarnation. And he has asked me to tell our story. And so now it really is a passion of mine to help others understand that death is just a part of life and not the opposite of it, and that we are never, ever 6 feet under.
What's in your time capsule? So what is it that, what are you hoping to achieve through your time capsule?
Well, the time capsule, we were asked to bury it, and it has the original draft manuscript, and it has all the details of this future life that by the time we find the capsule, we will have already lived, but we're going to find it, that this information was written 40 years before it all happened. So we actually were asked to put DNA in the capsule as well to prove that we were actual people. And it has articles of clothing and photographs and genealogy and and the location of where Russell's grave is, and so it's fairly large.
Wow, wow. Okay, so then this time capsule will be found by the future you to then verify that the past you existed. And how is the future you, is that right?
That is correct.
And how is the future you going to know to look for this time capsule?
Well, it's going to be found accidentally when a house is being built. It actually will be dug up. What is going to happen 2 years before that time is a friend of Russell's will find this book, Love Promised, A Future Life Revealed, in an off-the-path-beaten bookstore and will read about his friend's life that was written 40 years before it all happened. He will wrap it up, give it to him for as a birthday gift. And at first, we are going to grow up in the Anglican Church, and we're going to be very skeptical, although we're going to be, you know, pretty amazed. And it's not until the capsule's found 2 years later that we won't be able to deny it, is what I'm told.
Hmm. Okay, so you know that you'll find it because you've already been told what the future looks like and that it's prescribed that you will find it when you build this house.
Correct.
Okay, so that's how you know now where to bury it, because you already have a sense of the future.
Right, we were actually told where to bury it.
Wow, okay, that is wild.
No one knows that location, though.
What do your NASA friends think of all this?
Some know and some don't.
Okay. I mean, what do you say to skeptics? Because this is kind of out there, don't you think? I mean, this is out there.
It is very much
out
there. It is very much out there, CJ. And I tell you, if I hadn't had those personal, you know, those out-of-body experiences as a child and growing up, I think I might be looking at myself thinking I was crazy. But, you know, the book is really, even though it's out there, it is a journey. It's a story. So I'm putting it out there, and of course it's up to the individual to, you know, put it on their own, you know, whether it's a fact, theory, or a fantasy to them. But I'm hoping that the book will help some other people, you know, as far as death is concerned, knowing that we don't die. So, you know, there are a lot of theories out there, and mine's just one.
Okay, so we don't die. Where is it? So when you talk to people who are fearful of death, what are the things that you can offer them that will help them fear death less?
To fear death less is I tell them about my own experiences of being out of the body. I tell them that of the communication, especially those that I think are going to believe it. And then I also ask them about experiences they've had in their life. And it, oddly enough, most people don't like to come out and admit, but just about everyone I've spoken to has had some type of what you might call a paranormal experience that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. And I've even spoken with an astronaut who told me, yeah, I can believe that story. And he told me of a fascinating story of himself where he saw another being on the other side. But he said he only told that to a handful of people. So, and of course, I couldn't mention his name.
Okay, so you said the things that help people is, one, you share your out-of-body experiences, and then your communication. So can you share those with us? Give us kind of a high-level summary of – I'm not even sure what an out-of-body experience is.
Well, when I was a little girl and I went to bed just very relaxed, all of a sudden I felt myself, my whole body start to vibrate. It was very subtle, but it was very intense. And then all of a sudden, I just felt myself slowly lifting up out of my body. And, of course, that when the fear set in, I was just immediately back in my body. And then when it started happening again, the same thing would start to happen. And I would really try to avoid the experience by crawling in the bottom of my closet, turning on a light and reading a book, or crawling into my parents', you know, bed. One time when I was 11 years old, though, I left so quickly, and it happened so fast that I was outside of my body, and I just had this most beautiful sense of peace, and I was actually flying through air feet first, you know, amidst clouds, as crazy as that sounds, and that's all I actually remembered about that experience. But when I woke up, again, at the age of 11, I told my parents that I wasn't afraid to die. And while the journey continues, you know, with me, you know, studying this philosophy of life called concept therapy that talked about life from both a science and a theology perspective, which is really what I wanted. And then later on in life, I found a book called The Silver Cord, Lifeline to the Obstructed. And it just, I had tears in my eyes when I read the book because it was really something that I could relate to that helped me understand what it was that I was experiencing. And then,
so when
you
go to your out-of-body experience and you vibrate at this higher level, and when you're 11 and you're vibrating into some other, where do you go? Is it what they call the astral plane? Where is it that you're going when you vibrate out, and how is it related to what happens with death?
Well, I think, you know, some have said that we actually die every night that we go to sleep, and I understand what they're saying when they say that, because although when we leave our body, we are connected with this silver cord, much like a fetus is connected, you know, inside the mother's womb. And so we are connected to our oversoul or our higher self, and this, what I call the subatomic world, we are connected, and when we die, that is what's severed. But as far as where we go, I think we cross dimensions into a different reality, leaving this physical body behind. And what I'm told is that it's much more real than what we think of as reality in this dimension. And I like to call it a stage of life that we're in, because I truly think that this, where we are now, is like an actual stage, and like we're actors, and our bodies are the physical costumes that we choose. And I was told that when Russell told me when he crossed over that it was nothing more than like taking off a heavy coat. And so I do think that we cross over to another level and gravitate to like-minded souls. And in this other dimension, I'm told that there is like a duplicate of Earth, only, you know, you may have heard, only without the poverty, the pollution, the killing. And so you can imagine a beautiful Earth without those things. And I'm just told that it's just very beautiful, and I do talk about it, and Russell talks quite a bit about it in Love Promise.
Okay, so am I sure if I follow this. So we have an oversoul that is contained in this other realm and dimension, and that we're connected in this realm by a silver cord. And then when we die, that silver cord is clipped, but our oversoul still remains in this other area that you have traveled to in your out-of-body experience.
Right.
Did I get it right? Okay.
Yeah,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
And we don't actually go anyplace. I think we just become more aware of who we are, or we do cross dimensions. But I'm told that there's only a part of us that manifests itself or incarnates in this physical dimension. And I'm told it's not the only one, you know, either. So, you know,
right, so there's actually many silver cords in many different dimensions. So, I mean, if there's parallel universes, is that what you mean, where you have silver cords with very different parallel versions of CJ and Kent? Is that what you mean when you talk
about
that?
Right, and if you keep up with what theoretical science is talking about today, specifically Morgan Freeman's Through the Wormhole series, I mean, they have theoretical physicists that are postulating that there are, they call them multiverses. In the book, I have a diagram, and in order to understand what I was being told through my communication, I actually drew up a diagram to try to understand it, the different universes. I'm told that there are 11 of them, and that we can actually, we don't have to have the death experience to actually travel back and forth between them. But
ooh, okay, we have to go on break, but I want to hear more about that after the break. I want to go traveling to 11 different universes. That sounds cool. And I don't have much luggage, so that's even better.
So, fortunately.
So, exactly. So Ken Smith, author of Love Promise. Next up, we're going to talk more about her experiences and communications with people in different realms. I love it. All right, so Kent is going to be offering a great offer today. For the first 20 people who like the Fire It Up with CJ page on Facebook, you will get a free e-copy of her book sent to your email address. So thank you, everyone. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good and Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky.
Author Kent Smith is live here on CBS Radio today talking about her discoveries about life's great mysteries in her book, Love Promised, A Future Life Revealed. I'm Cassandra from CBS Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Kent.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Fire It Up with CJ show. We were talking about death yet again. Seems like all we do on the show is talk about death. here's the reason why. I'm not sure why, but we have a big clump of a bunch of radio shows about death lately. I don't know what's wrong with me, but here's what I will say, because I haven't contemplated death, my death, the death of loved ones. What I have come to realize as a person is that our fear of death sometimes prevents us from fully living. And because, Kent, you've actually gone through all these different, you've talked to people who've crossed over the other side, you've had out-of-body experiences that allow you to go to these different places. What can you tell us about, when you say that death is a part of life, what does that mean?
Well, when I looked up the word death in the dictionary, I was, after having the experiences in the communication, like you say, I was pretty shocked, because Webster's defines death using these words, no longer living, deprived of life, inanimate, no sensation, period of great darkness, inactive, sudden and total stoppage of motion and action. And it says death means the end of life. So I'm postulating that death is a part of life, and I know that we only see ourselves as this physical body, and usually when we talk about heaven, it's abstract. It's something that's out there over there, or we really don't like to think about our own mortality because we do identify with our body so much. And I think we need to come up with a better definition of that word, because truly, it contradicts what we're taught in science and theology, which is our two main sources of knowledge. And our world's religions teach us that we don't die. And then also, even with Buddhism and Hinduism, they teach that life is eternal and everything is in a state of becoming. And then with Christianity, we are also taught that Jesus appeared and communicated to mankind after he supposedly died on the cross to let us know that he was alive. And from a religious sense, we don't die. Now, when you think about...
Let me try to summarize. So I think what you're saying is, if the main message for people is, hey, a lot of us think about death as kind of end of life, you're no longer existing. But what you've discovered is, in fact, it's a different kind of life where you may not have your physical body, but life is eternal and you're still going to be living, but maybe not within the physical body that you're used to. So that's the first thing that I'm hearing you say. Is that right?
That's right. And I'll even interject with a quote that I heard Deepak Chopra say one time that I thought was just beautiful. He said, In this world, we wake up and we remember a dream that we might have. When we die, we wake up and we look back on this world as if it was just a dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very true. What I'm being told is that this other side is what is actually real. And where we are now, as odd as it may sound, is just an illusion. I even asked my father in the communication, I said, is it true? At that point in time, I really trusted the information we were getting. And I said, is it true that this world is an illusion like some of our Eastern religions believe? And he said, honey, to the soul, it is. Mm-hmm. So that's why I call it kind of a play that we're in, a stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to think of at that point, but...
And what does he say the reason is why we have to be in this play?
Well, we choose to. We are evolving spiritually, and we are all working ourselves back to God, back to our ultimate source. And so I don't know if you've heard, this is kind of like God's playground, and that's why you can look out into the world and see a 10-year-old girl who, you know, has a mother that's addicted to cocaine, and then there's another 10-year-old girl that can play the violin at Carnegie Hall, you know, as well as any adult could. And then if you look at, you know, through a human's eyes and think, how can that be, you know, then you really have to start thinking about how reincarnation plays into all this, because would an omnipotent, loving creator, God, allow that to happen? Because that seems so unfair.
Right, so, but you're saying, but if God were there to create us to so that we can spiritually evolve, the gal, the, you know, 10-year-old who has a mom who's a crack addict, or the person who's a concert violinist, they're both evolving in different ways.
They are, and they both chose to have those experiences. And at one point, the one who had a mother that was addicted to crack, she might, you know, be a child prodigy in another life. And the one who, you know, could master, you know, the violin might have played in another lifetime a child who was murdered. So these are truly just roles that we play in life. And mm-hmm. what we're seeing right now is just the one role, you know, that Kent and CJ are playing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so what else about when death is part of life? I'm sorry, I stopped you from your whole...
No, that's okay. I wanted to bring up that, you know, when you really look at death from a scientific perspective, we know that the world's made up of matter and its opposite, antimatter. And we too know that matter is energy in constant motion. It's vibrating. And, you know, back 100 years ago, we broke down, you know, the atom and found electrons, protons, and neutrons. You know, then in the 1950s, we went on to discover subatomic particles such as quarks. And even, you know, this past 2 years, we found this elusive Higgs boson particle that they theorized 30 years ago that they think is the smallest particle, you know, that makes up our universe. And so when you think about it, I mean, all matter is vibrating. We are matter too. And all matter is vibrating on an atomic and a subatomic level. And then one of the things that we've observed most about matter, including ourselves, is that it just changes form, you know, like the ice cube that liquefies and becomes water and becomes steam, and it just dissipates into the ether, but it's still energy vibrating on a subatomic level. And so essentially, I think when I have these experiences, I believe today that I cross over into this subatomic level. And you know, maybe science calls it antimatter, but I think there's also something that, well, we don't completely even understand it from a scientific perspective.
Right. So then the first part is, hey, we actually don't, you know, yes, we may not have our physical body, and we'll actually, but our life continues. And then you're saying from a scientific perspective, we're no different than anything else. We are energy, we're vibrating, we're matter just like anything else in this universe. But what happens is that we will just shift form from, you know, maybe from solid to gas. That's what you're saying.
Right.
When we die, we just shift form. So don't freak out. We are still living. We're just shifting into a different form.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing. Okay. And you're saying you learned this, and you've also know this from an experiential sense, because you've had out of body experiences where, when you were a 10-year-old, you were shifting in that way when you're sleeping. And you're
exactly.
saying that a lot of people believe that sleep, in fact, is one of these ways that it's when all of us, do all of us travel to that plane when we sleep? Or?
Yes. That's what's so neat about it. You know, we all have out-of-body experiences every night. You know, we just are not everybody is aware of having the experience, and some are more aware of having experiences where others are not. And so, I mean, you know, getting back to that definition of death, you know, so death is really a part of life. It's very animate. It's not inanimate. It's a period of great awakening. It's not a period of great darkness. It's a process of being active, not inactive, and it's truly transforming into another state of being. So it's always in constant motion, not the stoppage of it.
Mm. All right. So we have, I know we have, we only actually have a few minutes left, but... This traveling to other universes, just, I love traveling, so of course this piqued my interest. So do you have a good resource or book that you would recommend for folks who want to experience more this other state where we go to these parallel universes in our sleep? Are there any resources that you use? Because, I mean, you were lucky because you just kind of were able to be an instant traveler. You already got your frequent flyer miles.
But you know, I think I had those experiences, because if I hadn't had them, I don't know that to me, this knowledge that I was getting is more of a fact to me and not just a theory. I can understand that a little bit more. Whereas I know when I present it to a lot of people, they might think of it as just a theory. But everybody on a soul level is seeking answers. And I think when you get an answer that pings with you, you'll know. And we're not all evolving, you know, at the same pace, and we didn't all come here to have the very same experiences. In the book, I was given very specific details of the parallel universes, not the different levels of heaven. That's what I want to continue working on, and I'm told that I'm going to write a second book, but I do want to understand more about the different levels of heaven and what each encompass. And I'm told that they would have to have the help of an archangel to be able to give me that information. So I look forward to getting that and sharing it, you know, as well.
It's fascinating. Thank you so much, Kent, for being here. Kent Smith, author of Love Promise, who you can contact both at Facebook and also at her website, universallifestrings.com. And a special offer for live listeners, for the first 20 people who like us on the Fired Up with CJ Facebook page, you will get a free e-copy of Love Promise. So thank you so much for being here. In the next segment, we have Eleuthera Litch up, talking about her program at the YMCA working with the youth and violence. We'll be right back.